Welcome back, everybody. That, of course, is the infamous Andrew WK, Party Hard. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tile. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your request in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about the Toy Hall of Fame. It's that time of year when they have the nominees for the Toy Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about toys in the Toy Hall of Fame and all that cool stuff. And we have a Blackhawks Express. It's the first game of the season, the pregame season last night, so we'll hear that as well. Let's welcome. But right now we're going to talk music and lots of stuff to talk about. Jim Ryan, who you can hear doing traffic right on this radio station.
That's correct. Noon to 3.
Noon to 3 on weekdays. You can read him in the Daily Herald and in the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. Follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And we played a little Andrew WK.
Unmistakable.
As you get it, we're going to be talking about Riot Fest and other concerts and other things and all kind of stuff. But we hit off the topic here with Andrew WK. You interviewed him.
I did.
Was it the real guy?
It was the real guy. Had him on the phone and then ran into him on Sunday at Riot Fest. So. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was the real guy.
Now, what's the story here behind, like, fake Andrew WK?
So,
what's
yeah,
the story?
You know, I was completely unfamiliar with that angle of the story until I was getting ready for the interview. Yeah, I guess there's a guy, I guess, who sued him early on in his career saying that he was the actual Andrew WK or that he had come up with the idea for it or something, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I guess there's a lot of ins and outs there. But I was curious if that tied into... Because Andrew WK hasn't put out a new album in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while, I guess.
He's got a new one coming out. They just announced it this week. It's coming out soon.
Okay.
He's coming back to the Vic, so you can...
Oh, good. Good, good,
I don't want
good.
You to miss him.
All right. Now, so tell me about what it was like to interview him. What did you guys talk about? Tell me a little bit.
We talked about partying. Because what else do you talk about when you have Andrew WK on the phone for 20 minutes? You talk about partying.
Uh-huh.
Partying, the mindset that is partying... And we talked about Riot Fest. You know, what makes Riot Fest a unique festival?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of two performers who have performed every year now since it's become an outdoor festival in 2012. Would you care to guess the other artist? I think you'll get
how
this.
Many? How many?
Two artists. Two? Andrew WK is one.
And? Oh, I don't know.
Guar.
Oh, Guar. Of course. Of course.
I thought
Guar.
You would have that one.
Of course. I should have known
yes.
that. Yes, Guar. You know, we were talking on the show a few weeks ago. We were talking about things that you should do at least once in your life.
Yes.
And I said, see Guar.
Absolutely.
That was my choice. You have to. At uh-huh. some point in your life, see Guar. I don't own a Guar record.
Me neither.
I don't actively pursue anything Guar related, but I saw them once, and they were fantastic. It was one of the most ridiculous shows I've ever seen.
Honestly, if you're going to have two Riot Fest kind of de facto mascots, I can't think of better ones
yeah.
than Andrew WK and Guar.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. That totally makes. Did you see Guar this time?
I did not see Guar this time, but I did interview Guar.
Oh, over the phone or
no? That was in person. They trot them through the press tent, I think, to basically just drum up free publicity. Because when you in full costume,
oh, of course, yeah.
When you bring them through the media tent, what do you think happens at a festival?
Oh, everyone, people go nuts.
They stop. They want a photo. They
yeah.
need a soundbite. So, yeah, I think it's probably just easy publicity.
And you had a photo with Guar, didn't you?
I did. I got the photo while I was interviewing them. 2.5 minutes of F-bombs and talk about bodily fluids that doesn't help me in any way, shape, or form. But
right.
I got the photo, so I'm happy.
You got the photo.
Yeah.
You can't use any of the interview.
None of it is usable.
No, none of it is usable, of course.
They also have a new album coming out, Blood of Gods.
So this has got to be like their 50th album, right? I mean,
it's certainly a lot. It's their first since 2014, though, because they had a couple members untimely pass away.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you though, it's something to see that.
Oh, yeah.
To see that show live and wear a raincoat. Or, being in, because you're going to get covered in bodily fluids.
Yeah, you are.
Unlike, I was in the balcony when I saw him.
Okay.
And nearly got hit.
I had to duck.
I
stayed back at Riot Fest for
yeah.
that reason.
Yeah. No. I mean, you'll get bodily fluids, all
oh, yeah.
kinds of bodily fluids.
And then at a festival, you have to walk around covered in it the rest of the day, which didn't see. I was like, no, I'm good.
All right, before we get into your assessment of Riot Fest
yes.
and the acts that you saw and all that cool stuff,
yeah.
I want to mention that the first interview that you ever did.
Yes.
We have to pay tribute
oh,
to the
absolutely.
King. Bobby Heenan passed away, a legend.
Got that info while we were at Riot Fest, and I was kind of racking my brain. I can't think of, at a young age, for me, a bigger comedic influence. Because even at a young age, I got it. I thought he was the best. Even like you're, you know, as a kid, you're supposed to cheer the faces and not Bobby, right?
Right.
I thought the Heenan family was the greatest thing ever.
There's no question about it. And, you know, I mean, he was a great wrestler, too. Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan. And then as a manager, there was no better manager. And there were during an era of a lot of great managers,
too.
Because that was back when, you know, managers were just as cool as the wrestlers.
Mid to late 80s.
And he just was by far, Bobby the Brain Heenan was the best. And then when he transitioned to broadcasting, putting him with Gorilla Monsoon, legendary. Legendary. So what was it like to interview Bobby Heenan? And then when did you interview him?
So we had him, I was co-hosting a morning show at Columbia College. So it would have been 2002, I think.
So before he got sick.
It was before it got real bad.
He
was sick, and you can kind of hear it in the voice on the tape.
Yeah.
But I don't think he could have even done it at a certain point in.
The past like 5-6 years, it would just.
So it was before it got real bad.
Yeah. So what was it like?
I mean, he was still hilarious. He still had that, you know, quick wit, and I mean. It was the first one I had done. I was so overprepared with like a list of questions. My co-host wasn't a wrestling fan, so I'm like, well,
"Oh no,
you can ask him this stuff. You know, like, ask him about, you know, Hogan and Andre at WrestleMania 3, that kind of thing." And so he's, you know, firing these one-liners off at us, and I'm like. You know, you learn real fast interviewing a guy like that. That the key to a great interview is to listen to him and be able to, you know, fire back.
Yeah.
And, I was not capable of it at that time. I'm sure it's sitting around somewhere, probably in my parents' basement on a cassette tape.
Right.
And I should probably get it out.
Well, he was just the best, man. And I was, I mean, he was sick for a long time.
I think he was just underrated in general because forget wrestling. I just think that quick wit, you could have put that up against anybody.
He was so funny. Yeah. I mean, like everything he said. Uh-huh. One of my favorite terms that he used. That the first time I ever heard it was from him, and then I use it all the time. I've used it for years. Is you can flush that right down the Bemis, and you know people go, "What does that mean?"
Oh, come on!
Flush it right down the Bemis.
Yes.
Bemis is a type of a toilet.
Oh yeah,
and so. You know, and like you could see it on the lid, on the toilet lid, it says Bemis. And so the fact that he pulled that out, he's like, you can flush it right down the Bemis. I was like, that's it. And then whenever I never say toilet.
Yeah.
I say Bemis every single time because of Bobby the Brain Heenan.
He cut us a liner when he was done, and he, you know, he threw in all the humanoids and the ham and eggers.
Right.
It went on for like, it goes on for like 2 minutes. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you can edit that. I'm like, we're not touching
no,
that.
No, are you kidding?
I'm like, we're going to air all 2 minutes of that every half hour.
That's great. Well, rest in peace, Bobby. Yes. Brain Heenan, and
oh my God.
Hopefully you'll be able to dig up that cassette sometime soon.
Yeah, I gotta find it.
All right, so let's talk about Riot Fest.
Yes.
Besides Guar, besides Andrew WK, the two staples of Riot Fest.
Yes.
Tell us some of the highlights. Let's go through day by day. You went all 3 days.
Yeah, Friday. I think the thing I love the most about Riot Fest, and I think Friday was the best example of it, is the way they craft the schedule because there's logic to it, and you can tell that there's the hand of a fan who's paying attention to detail in there. So. The day starts out early at like 2 in the afternoon with X and the Buzzcocks.
That's great.
Yeah, so you got kind of the dawn of punk rock, two of the three scenes covered there.
We were talking before we started, before we came live here on the show, off the air, about how it's Riot Fest this year seemed to skew older.
It did.
Because the posts that I was getting on my social media feeds were like, oh, I'd like to see that band.
Right.
And you know, I'm 52 years old, so I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, I would have really enjoyed Riot Fest this year.
Uh-huh.
And starting out with X and Buzzcocks, I mean, that's fantastic.
I mean, how strange is it to see the Buzzcocks and X, like, outside in the sun at
3
in the afternoon? I'm like, have they ever done this before? Or shouldn't they be sleeping?
Yeah.
You know?
How was it?
Oh, it was fantastic, especially the Buzzcocks. They were dynamite. Yeah. Pete Shelley, his voice still sounds. You know, I think punk rock is such a difficult thing to do. Later,
to sustain.
Long time.
Yeah,
I think it just kind of loses its power, and the Buzzcocks didn't at all. It was still.
I saw them.
It hit hard. It was good.
I saw them once.
Okay.
Years ago, Aragon.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I remember they opened for Pearl Jam a couple times.
They did. I never saw them open for Pearl. I never saw them open for Pearl Jam, but that would have been a great double bill. And how was X?
So X was terrific. It's all the original members are back.
Is that right?
So John Doe is there, and Exene Cervenka is there.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was good.
Wow. All right, so that's how your day started on Friday.
That's how it started.
So you had X and the Buzzcocks.
And then that leads into New Order and Ministry.
Okay, hang on. We have to take a break. Okay. We have to hear about New Order and Ministry. Again, this is skewing way old, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. Hang out, Jim. Jim Ryan is with me. You can read him in the Daily Herald, the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. Follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. You can hear him doing the traffic right here from noon to three on weekdays. And when we come back, we'll hear more about Riot Fest. And we got a lot more to talk about music-wise as well. Okay. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, more with Jim Ryan here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We are going to be talking about the Toy Hall of Fame. The nominees are out, and every time that this time of year, we always talk about that. We'll talk about toys in general and much more. That was the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, the impression that I get. And we're here with Jim Ryan, and we're on the live in the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here. And Jim, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. They played Riot Fest.
They did.
And you interviewed them. Or you interviewed the... Who did you interview from?
I interviewed Dickie Barrett, the vocalist.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And you watch Kimmel, so you're familiar with Dickie Barrett's work.
Absolutely, yes.
As the staff announcer on Jimmy Kimmel Live as well.
Yep.
That's got to be the musician's dream, by the way. That is the day job, and then the music.
Right.
Do it however you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
But interviewed Dickie Barrett. The Boston's were doing that album that we just heard, Let's Face It, from 97. And the whole album, all that runs through it are these anti-bigotry, anti-racist, anti-sexist, anti-homophobia themes. And so, I mean, the gist of our interview was just how relevant all of that remains 20 years later.
And even more so.
Yeah, how sad that is.
Yeah, yeah. Was it fun to interview him?
It was great. It was really, I mean, it was kind of fascinating because they were trending after Charlottesville because young fans were finding those songs and sharing them on social media. All of a sudden, they were trending on Twitter. Songs from that album all of a sudden cracked their top Spotify streams.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about like how bizarre it is that those songs from 20 years ago were inspiring this now.
Yeah.
And that it was kind of sad.
It is kind of sad, but it's kind of cool for them.
Uh-huh.
But again, skewing older. Like,
so, yeah.
I saw people posting Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I'm like, you know, I would have liked to have gone to Riot Fest, I think, this year.
Well, so he did one of the coolest things of the entire weekend, the Boss Tones in general did. So when I interviewed him, he goes at the end, he's like, can you do me a favor? Can you plug an after show by a local Boston's tribute band, Chicago's premier Boston's tribute band? I'm like, sure.
That's cool.
And he goes, I don't remember where it's at. And I go, well, just, you know, give me the info. I can find it.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll plug it. So I did. And so later on, I get a text from a phone number in the Massachusetts area. And I look at my call log, and it's the number Dickie called me from.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the text, and it's the flyer for this tribute show, which was going on at the Baderbrow Brewery, because of course it was.
Baderbrow, yeah.
Uh-huh. 25th and Wabash.
Right.
And so I look at my buddy. I go, I think we need to go see a Boston's tribute band tonight. And he goes, why? I go, because Dickie Barrett's texting me about it after he asked me to mention it. So we go, and sure enough, Dickie walked in with half the band and Tom Lennon from Reno 911. At Baderbrow.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, Toxic Toast, the Boston's tribute band.
Yeah.
And you should have saw the looks on their faces
when
they walked in and walked right up there and started playing with them.
That must have freaked them out.
Yeah.
That had to be amazing. So Thomas Lennon is with them.
Uh-huh. But it was such a—I thought it was such a like a midnight at
a
brewery.
Oh, that's awesome, man!
You know, the night before their festival set.
Yeah,
I thought
that's
was
pretty cool.
A classy gesture, and it all benefited Lurie Children's Hospital.
That's great, man!
So everybody
that's
won.
A great story.
Yeah,
that's a really
good.
Cool story. All right, well, let's go back to day one again. We're now up to a new order and ministry.
So I think it's so great because that early punk of X and the Buzzcocks obviously influenced the post-punk and the new wave of New Order, which was a huge influence on the industrial that followed with Ministry, which is probably the single biggest influence on Nine Inch Nails, who headlined.
Right.
So you could see that logic like throughout the day
on
it was all on a matter of two stages. And it was I just thought that makes that festival very unique.
Yeah. Yeah. And how were the performances?
So New Order was really good. I mean, they kind of tore through the hits as expected. Ministry, just the fact I think that Al Jorgensen is alive near 60 is
stunning. Stunning.
But Nine Inch Nails might have been the best headlining set I've ever seen at Riot Fest. They were them or the Replacements. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trent Reznor is another one. I think there's a relevance to the Nine Inch Nails 90s catalog that a lot of those 90s artists, it's kind of lost over the years.
Right, right.
And the strength of his songwriting is so good that he can mix in, You know, he's only writing EPs now for Nine Inch Nails. So the stuff that's making the EPs is solid. He opened with a brand new track, and then he kind of intertwined it throughout the set, and it fits pretty flawlessly with the stuff you expect.
Did they do the song from the episode of Twin Peaks?
They did not. They didn't do The Perfect Drug. There were some people who were upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did Closer. They did a lot of the hits, but
yeah.
it was fascinating to me the way they worked in the newer material over the course of the last 5 or 10 years, and it didn't seem forced,
yeah.
And you didn't sit there going, oh.
Yeah.
Time
all right.
To beer.
Wow, that sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it was dynamite.
All right, what about Saturday?
So Saturday, Fishbone was on at 1:40 in the afternoon.
Come on, man. You don't put Fishbone on at 1:40 in the afternoon. See, again, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
One of my favorite live bands. I've seen Fishbone a million times, and insane live. Absolutely insane.
And they still are.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to me that those schedules at Riot Fest are so good that, yeah, every year you have bands like that on at a ridiculously early time.
Right.
They go, how am I ever going to get up and make it there in time?
But yeah.
That was good. Bad Brains was on.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to see them for a long time. Little disappointing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound was absolutely awful.
Uh-huh.
Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Did a DJ set.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of the first high-profile things he's done post-Beastie Boys.
Right.
That wasn't great either.
No.
He was just kind of up there almost as a mascot. He wasn't really... Didn't really seem to be DJing, per se.
Yeah.
He would keep running behind there. Someone else was up there with him. He still has the voice. He tried. You could recognize it from a mile away.
Of course.
Across
yeah.
the park.
Yeah.
He would sing along to some parts on some Beastie Boys stuff. It was just kind of
That's weird.
It was a little weird.
Yeah.
He would move from New York to Chicago stuff largely, you know, because he's from New York.
Right.
He would spin some Chicago house, and people were totally confused and baffled as to what that was, even though...
Yeah.
Chicago's the birthplace of house.
Right.
It was just kind of like about 15 minutes of that was plenty. I was
yeah.
like, okay.
Okay. All right.
Danzig. Glenn Danzig.
Yeah. Again, what was the average age of the crowd?
You know what? Younger than you would think.
Is that
right? It was probably about my age. I would say I'm 37.
Yeah.
I would say it's right in there.
Wow. All right.
But you get younger kids too.
Yeah. I mean, because it sounds like a bunch of old guys like me should have been there. You know what I mean? Like,
and there was that.
Yeah, no, that's what it seems. Okay, so how was Danzig?
So Danzig, like every year now, they have artists who do full albums
yes.
at Riot Fest. Danzig was one of those this year. Danzig, Wu-Tang,
yeah.
very diverse
yeah.
roster. Danzig did the Danzig 3 album in full, and
okay.
then he did Hits.
Okay.
So he closed with Mother. I finally got to see Danzig do Mother.
Okay.
I'm very excited about that. He had some parting words for the crowd, which was, don't let nobody F with you.
Nice.
So that's
okay.
kind of the logic you expect from Glenn Danzig.
Glenn Danzig, yeah.
He also did a new song that he said was about running from the police. So.
That's good. All right.
So there you go.
There you go. Danzig.
And then Queens of the Stone Age were the headliner.
Okay.
And I think there are not a lot of bands in this country right now firing on all cylinders the way Queens of the Stone Age has.
Yeah, great rock band.
7 albums in. Mark Ronson produced the new one.
So I know, we were talking about that the last time you were here.
There's this kind of groove to it. Like, I think you get it a little on their last album, and then they really go for it on this one. It's danceable, but it rocks, and it's just, they were dynamite.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
okay. All
wonderful.
Right, so the final day is Sunday.
So you had, this to me was the strongest schedule of the entire weekend. I will tell you at
so one, far, it's been pretty damn good.
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
At one point, you had all of the following artists overlapping.
Okay.
Prophets of Rage, Paramore, MIA, Gwar, and Andrew WK.
Oh my God.
You could have bounced from one to the other to the other to the other.
What did you choose?
I did Prophets of Rage during
that
stretch.
That would have been my choice, too.
Yeah, because I've seen all the other ones.
Yeah.
And they were terrific.
They do PE songs?
They did, yeah.
They did
Fight the Power.
They did Fight the Power?
Yeah, it was a shortened set. When I saw them last year in Tinley, they did a bunch. But this year it was Fight the Power I caught. And then they did a couple Cypress Hill ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. And I think people were, especially in the punk rock world, kind of expecting at Riot Fest some of these artists to address the world events. And at least on the main stages, that didn't go on a lot until Sunday because you had the Boss Tones address it quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and you had Prophets of Rage. Obviously,
of
Tom Morello is not going to, and Chuck D.
right, are not going to be silent about that, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting to watch their reaction to everything. They were obviously pretty vocal. But to me, you had, at least as far as the full albums throughout the weekend, three of the best ones were on Sunday.
Okay.
The Boston's did Let's Face It. Dinosaur Jr. did You're Living All Over Me.
That's one of my favorite albums of all time.
And then they closed with Hits.
Yeah.
And do you remember...
Did they not fight on? Did they punch each
other?
There
was no. There was none of that. There was none of that.
Okay.
The last time I saw Dinosaur Jr. was down the street at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Right.
Free Old Style was being given away, so there was none of that either.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right. Now, the last time I saw, I've seen Dino Jr. a bunch of times. Yeah. Last time I saw him was in Dublin. It was
okay.
In Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was.
How many people were there?
A ton.
Okay.
Yeah, a ton. Built to Spill opened.
Oh, see, they did an after show this week at Bottom Lounge with Built to Spill.
Yeah, and Built to Spill opened, and this was 7 years ago was the last time I saw him.
Wow,
that's
okay.
How long it's been since I've seen. No. I saw him one time after that.
Okay.
But to get back to the Dublin thing, my ex-wife and I went to Ireland like for a year after we got married for our honeymoon. We waited. We
okay.
went to Dublin. We went to Ireland. We went all over the place. And our first day in Dublin, we went to a pub, shockingly, and there was a poster on the wall for Built to Spill and Dinosaur Jr.
Wow.
And I was like, and we had plans to stay in Belfast an extra night.
Okay.
We cut that extra night out of Belfast so we can go back to Dublin so we could see Built to Spill and Dinosaur Jr.
I love that you went to see Dinosaur Jr. on your honeymoon.
We did. Well, we both love the band. We had, you know, that's one of the things that we bonded on was our love for Dinosaur Jr. And,
nice.
And they were fantastic.
They're another one. I mean, I think Jay Mask is one of the most underrated guitar players ever.
He's a hero. He's a guitar hero. He's a god.
And his voice, it's not like he's ever had to hit high notes. It still sounds it still sounds exactly as you hope it
and
sounds.
And he looks exactly, except his hair is white now. But
yes.
But he dresses exactly the same, the hair, the whole thing.
Still down to his knees. Yeah, he looks like Cousin It now. Yes.
I love that band. I love that band.
And they're still great.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Do you remember a band, a 90s band from L.A.? They performed as a six-piece on Sunday. That Dog?
I do not.
I had forgotten kind of about them, but they did an album called Retreat from the Sun in full from 97.
Are we supposed to know what that album is?
You know what? Like, no, but it was dynamite. They were a six-piece band, three-part harmonies.
Wow.
Anna Waronker was the lead singer. Her brother is Joey Waronker, who played with Beck and R.E.M.
Okay.
Like, everyone in the band had, like, a long lineage of... They came from music-making families. But three-part harmonies, a live fiddle on stage, and it was, like, 90s alternative rock. It was really, really good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So was that kind of a surprise?
Yeah, that was early in the day. That was one of those ones just kind of walking the park.
And then who finished up on Sunday?
Prophets of Rage, and then the Jawbreaker reunion.
Yeah.
I know. That was the big one of the whole weekend because people were shocked by that.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a riot fest that I'd go to.
It was, you know what? It's every year it's my favorite one, and Andrew WK said this without me prodding him, just that the vibe at that festival is tremendous and that it's their most festivals try to create it and it just kind of has to happen. And it's the artists are part of that and the fans are part of that and the organizers and the people working it. And
a great fest, Riot Fest. Yeah,
terrific.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hang on, Jim. We're going to talk more music. We got some stuff coming up soon that is kind of exciting, and also I want to talk about Green Day at Wrigley as well. Okay, so we're going to take a break. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and you can follow Jim on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan, and we'll talk more music right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. That was Company of Thieves, and we have Jim Ryan in studio with us. You can read him in the Daily Herald and the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night, and hear him right on this radio station doing traffic from 12 to 3 every weekday afternoon. Jim, you have an article about them?
I do. That'll be running on Friday in the Daily Herald.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of went on hiatus in 2014. They haven't put out new music since 2011. So that song we just heard, Treasure, that's the first new single since 2011, and I love it.
Yeah.
There's some lyrics in there that I think are kind of pointed in the direction. One of the lyrics in particular is, how could a businessman take all the love?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clear who they're talking about there. Mm-hmm. So they kind of address the state of the world, which they haven't really previously. But alternative indie rock, and they're from Chicago. The bass player, Mark Wallach, is from Roselle.
Okay.
And he kind of tours now since the hiatus. He's toured. He's been a touring member for AWOL Nation, and then he performed for a while with Juliette Lewis.
On the Licks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw her once.
I saw that last year at Riot Fest.
Oh, she
actually
played Riot Fest? Uh-huh. Was it just Juliet? Was it Juliette Lewis and the Licks?
It was Juliette and the Licks, but I missed them in Chevy Metal, the Foo Fighters cover band.
Oh, right. She came out.
She
and
came
played,
out with
that's
them.
That's right. I remember you telling us
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, her and Dee Snider.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Green Day at Wrigley.
Uh-huh.
Most of the people that, you know, went to it seemed to think it was great.
Love it. Yeah. People gushed about it. Yeah. That's. It made me realize that I hate reviewing concerts because I was like, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And 40,000 people around me obviously did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who am I now to go and write an overly negative review of this? But that is what I did. So that's.
Well, that's what about it now. Did you have problems with?
You know what? They're not a punk band in any way, shape, or form in 2017. They perform as a 6-piece band now. Do you think it takes 6 people to knock out, you know, Green Day songs?
No, it shouldn't.
So, but when you're running around the stage playing Rockstar, which I suppose in front of 40,000 people you should do.
Yeah.
But then it takes 6 people. And Billy Joe Armstrong made it a point within the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show to say that this is not a political party and we are not going to address any of the political, and he referred to it BS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the only reason that that band can perform in front of 40,000 people right now is because they had a career rebirth addressing that political
absolutely.
BS.
Absolutely.
You know, I had a problem with the fact that that's what you rode to success with the American Idiot album.
Right.
That's the only reason they're playing.
Yeah. And it's it's a double album.
Yeah. and they're going to let this guy off the hook.
Right.
I was like, that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like I understand.
I felt like
it was a cop out. That's all.
I can understand that. But they ripped through like the hits and stuff, right? So
I mean, it was a very hit filled set. But I mean, it's funny at this point they have so much material that when we say hits, it's pretty recent hits. It's not. They did 3 songs, I think, off Dookie.
Mm-hmm.
After that, there's not a lot off those albums. Kind of in the middle. The first couple and then the last couple, and it's
right.
I don't know. I was a little disappointed. But as far as the quality of the show, it would be hard to argue with they put on a good show.
Yeah. Okay.
It was entertaining.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you're going to interview Billy Corgan.
Yeah. I've got Billy Corgan on Friday. That'll be for the Daily Herald as well. That'll run in October.
Okay. And now this is the one, though. The next one that you're going to, the next person that you're going to interview that I have in front of me here.
Which one?
Tommy Stinson.
Oh, yeah, that one's done.
Oh, you did it?
That's going to be running. Yes.
Come on now.
That's going to run in October as well.
How was that? Tommy Stinson, by the way, of the Replacements.
Yes.
He's a hero.
He's put his post-Replacements 90s band, Bash and Pop, back together. Are
right.
You familiar with that?
Yes,
they,
of course.
They
had
one album out.
Yeah.
So there's a new Bash and Pop album out now, and it's terrific. They just put out 2 new singles this week on top of that.
Oh, man.
And they're coming to House of Blues. I think it's October 18th and 19th, opening for Psychedelic Furs.
And they're opening for the Furs.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be a hell of a show.
Talia Hall. I said House of Blues. Talia Hall.
Talia Hall. That's going to be a hell of a show.
That's going to be dynamite.
Because the Furs are great.
So.
But, wow. So, Tommy Stinson, that's pretty cool,
I have 2 people that I think just embody rock and roll, and it's Keith Richards and Tommy Stinson.
That's hard to argue.
I was beyond excited.
Yeah, that's cool. Was a phoner?
Yeah, it was a phoner.
Yeah.
So I'll run that at Chicago Now in October. I got a couple of Replacements questions in, so I was happy about that.
Good.
But it's hilarious because he's been, strangely, in 3 of my all-time favorite bands.
Which would be?
The Replacements, Guns N' Roses, and Soul Asylum.
Right. That's great, man.
Oddly,
No, he's a. I mean, come on. I saw here on the info sheet, Tommy Stinson.
I was beyond.
That's
excited,
awesome,
Nick. Seriously.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
All right, very cool. So everybody can read you Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night.
Uh-huh.
The Daily Herald. You got some stuff running that's coming up in there.
This Friday, the Company of Thieves piece.
Company
runs.
Of Thieves piece runs. Okay, cool. And you check in with us periodically to talk music. And every weekday, noon to 3, we can hear you do in traffic.
Yep.
Jim, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.